So as Jeff said, this is work I did as part of my PhD thesis with Jim, and this work was also done with undergraduate tech student Krishna Desai. So the underlying problem and motivation for this work is kind of three prongs. First is that standard keyword search engines are a dominant paradigm even on site-specific search facilities. The second is that there are it's very common to have pre-existing under-leveraged hierarchical structures in such contained environments, and the canonical example that I'll be using in this talk are digital libraries with things like hierarchical topic classifications that either experts have done through just regular manual classification or that is folksonomic or whatever. And thirdly, search engine result page provide little contextual information for the results on a specific page, so it's common to have kind of the dead end problem or the too many results problems where you don't really understand how the results that you're getting from a keyword string relate to the overall content of the repository that you're looking at. So with that in mind, my research approach is to the result map system that I'm going to go over more briefly, and then what I want to emphasize more are the evaluations and implications of those evaluations that I did as a part of this work. So what are result maps? Essentially, a tree map view of repository search results in which the visualization in the screenshot here at the top right is the result map that augments the keyword search engine result page and accentuates results within the context of the entire hierarchical classification of the documents or items in a data repository. And result maps are interactively linked with the text result listings through dynamic effects, brushing, and so on. So the goals, I guess, of this approach is to keep the search engine result page familiarity that's especially important for novice users. That is, we're not replacing a familiar paradigm with this InfoViz awesomeness. We're augmenting an existing approach with a little bit of InfoViz awesomeness. And the purpose of the InfoViz part of it is to provide some global context for results rather than more limited contextualization, like, for example, a system that would show results only in the context of the overall search result set. So rather than showing 10 results in the context of your 700 results, you're showing your 10 results in the context of however big the repository search space is. On a pragmatic note, I've been implementing this and targeting this at web-based digital libraries, so as a technological matter, I wanted this to be integrated with a web environment that is a browser. So getting to the details of the design. As I said, in a result map, I encode all of the documents in a library into the tree map rather than only specific ones from a search result set, so that this tree map encoding is constant between different searches. So no matter what keyword string you choose, you get the same basic layout for all searches. And then highlight documents that are in the current search result page by coloring them, essentially, so that then the colored nodes, their position is a result of their hierarchical or the classification within the hierarchical structure. In this case, for this digital library, it's a topic taxonomy. And color is determined by the semantic document type, as indicated by this lecture down below the screenshot. So how this integrates with the rest of the page is that I present the result map as a companion piece to the traditional text listings, which are along the left side of the screen there, and interactive brushing effects link the three major components. That is, you have a text result listing, a corresponding node in the result map, and a corresponding entry in the color legend, so that brushing any one of these elements will highlight any of the corresponding elements. So it's fairly straightforward. So there are alternatives, obviously, to how I might have approached this problem. In the area of search and digital library contextualization, Bill Kulis did a lot of stuff web-related in his dissertation. Kahuna maps are an automated way of providing some kind of context for document spaces. The Microsoft Facet Map and Facet Lens systems do similar things with tree maps and providing context for search. But the differentiating factors, I think, for result maps are, one, using InfoViz to augment rather than replace existing searching and browsing tools. The second thing is the emphasis on global contextualization rather than filtering out non-relevant items from the InfoViz view, and the user studies that I'm getting to now. So the evaluation data, as I mentioned, I implemented this with a lot of digital libraries in mind. So the two main data sets that I dealt with were the HCC Education Digital Library, or HCC-EDL, which is a small digital library of HCI, HCC, or human-computer interaction, human-centered computing-related educational documents, and a larger 5,000-node data set of educational materials from general computing resources, and that's the Intuit UK digital library. And the content of both of these are, as I said, educational materials, lecture slides, assignments, that kind of thing. So the first study was kind of a combination, summative, formative type of deal, where I had a between subjects comparison of the control condition versus result map enhanced keyword search engine, where the control condition is essentially the screenshot you saw, just take out the result map. So it's a standard keyword search engine that every user is familiar with. The measures that I was interested in to start with were kind of standard things, task time, accuracy, and user satisfaction. One other slightly different measure that I was interested in is the idea of ancillary knowledge that users gain by virtue of being exposed to a visual representation of the document. So this repository knowledge survey here was administered after the test without prior warning. So I wanted to get a sense of whether users of the result map condition as a result of the visual representation had any better recall of different aspects of the repository that theoretically would prove useful in later browsing or searching sessions. So we had 13 relatively straightforward tasks that users conducted. One of those was a practice task. And they were to identify a document from a predefined result page. That is, we gave them the queries. We wanted to control for search expertise so that all users saw the same result pages. And we also used pre-selected criteria to identify a target document from that set. So, for example, given a search result page, what is a resource containing references to Fitts Law research works? And all of the target documents were on the initial search result page, although we didn't tell them that. So they're on multi-page results. They didn't have to page through results, but they didn't know that. So we also classified these target documents as outliers, clusters, or neither, based on kind of an ad hoc calculation that I detail in the paper. I think might just be in my dissertation, but I've forgotten at this point. So 20 students participated, all Georgia Tech students, and they all had HCI backgrounds, and we did this on purpose because we wanted them to be familiar with the content of the library, or at least familiar with some of the terms. We found no difference in the overall task time and accuracy, but we found a couple of interesting results. One, they had marginally higher accuracy on outlier tasks, and you kind of see why this would be. This might be true. They had a visual representation to show that a particular result was indeed an outlier. But that was only marginally significant, so you can ignore that if you're so inclined. But we did find significant effects on how users rated the impact of the interface on the task difficulty. And result map users did indeed score higher on portions of the repository knowledge test, so they recalled different aspects of the repository better than the control condition. So the results weren't earth-shattering, but we were interested in doing kind of a more extended, more comprehensive study. So we were interested in introducing more complex tasks, so not controlling for search expertise, but while losing that control, gaining... Um, the benefits of more extensive query sequences and more complex queries. We also obviously wanted to test this on a larger data set. And we also wanted to introduce a standardized satisfaction metric rather than the ad hoc survey that we did in the first study. So we used a standardized survey from IBM. And we also wanted to have some indication of users' engagement or enjoyment of the tasks they were doing. So we used, and that comes out of the interface flow concept from CSCW and elsewhere. So we used a standardized assessment survey for that. There are also a few small tweaks to the result map interface that I'm going to gloss over here, but they're explained in the paper based on the results, you know, from users. We tweak things to make things better. So in the second study, we had a split plot design where the interface was between subjects factor, and the within subjects factor was the repository size. The measures are as I discussed, and this time we had 6 tasks per repository, and that's per repository. So the users did 12 tasks total, 6 for each repository size. One of those for each repository was a practice. And these tasks again asked users to find a document given preselected criteria, but those criteria ranged from very specific, that is, find kind of this specific document meeting these criteria, to very open-ended, where the criteria were a lot more like find a document that seems interesting to you for a particular reason. We did, on this study, provide a limited amount of training, a 3-minute video on the basic features of the result map brushing and the interactive behavior. I forgot to put in that we had 36 subjects on this study, and they were taken from introductory HCI and psychology courses within the first few weeks of the semester, so they didn't really have the same amount of background knowledge, so they weren't kind of the more expert users we had in the first study. So with that, the results. So they were encouraging but frustrating because we had all these nice improvements in time and accuracy from the result map to the control condition over both repository sizes, and that was true. We had higher scores on the survey metrics, but only the enjoyment difference was significant, which was leads to my table of frustration, which is all the near significant results that popped out. So this is just I guess I'd like to share my frustration with you a little bit as therapy. So lessons and implications from this work that I think might be useful for some in the community. Pragmatically, obviously, we all know that within subjects comparisons are more powerful and we should use them. That's kind of basic. But I think that's a lot of times easier said than done. And in this case, especially in information seeking environments like a lot of InfoViz studies and in information retrieval example, for example, task creation for these kinds of studies is really hard. I mean, this is not something that you just go out in an afternoon and say, oh yeah, find this and this and this, and then you're done. And when you have to then do that twice for a within subjects comparison, that's just kind of it's not fun. So that's something I'm going to return to in just a second. So a second thing, lesson or implication that I drew out of this is to distinguish between the type of user interest in a data set. And I term this analytic versus direct interest in the data. So in a lot of InfoViz data sets, the users are interested in more of the meta level of the information, an analytic interest in the distributions of items and that kind of thing. But in digital libraries and maybe some other environments, I think there's often a more direct interest in the data itself, the content of the documents. So in this case, in digital libraries, when people are interested in searching for these things, they may be interested in some more meta interest, but they're also interested in the content of the lecture. They're interested in the data as itself. And I think in that way, I had a serious mismatch between the user's interest in the data and the types of activities that the result maps were designed to address. So the result maps are there for contextualizing the content and seeing how the different documents were arrayed in the topical space. But that kind of information was subsumed sometimes by people's interest in the data itself. So that's kind of a, I don't know, a warning. So in that case, I guess I'm a little bit happy that the results turned out as good as they did. So returning to the issue of task matching, out of this, I found wanting some kind of way of comparing tasks beyond simple notions of, oh, these two direct tasks are similar. So I think there's an opportunity here for the creation of some kind of statistical measures of comparison using local tree structure around documents in hierarchical information spaces, so that even though this kind of thing may ignore semantics, which are obviously quite important, at least it gives us some kind of notion of how similar at least the target documents in a search space are to each other, at least how similar the local environments around a target document are. And you can potentially use this in more open-ended tasks by doing post hoc comparisons for open-ended tasks, how similar are the documents that users found to each other. And there's been some work on this kind of how can we create good tasks by Koulos and Capra at a couple of papers in this recent year. So I'll conclude right as Jeff is holding up the zero sign. All right. And I'd like to acknowledge my funding sources while I was in graduate school, DHS, Stephen Fleming Chair, and I'd be happy to take your questions.
Great. We now have time for questions and comments. Please state your name and affiliation when you have your question. Thank you.
Ed Swing, VSTI. I find this very interesting. I was curious to know if you've looked at different search techniques, not just keyword search. For instance, how would this apply to faceted search, and would that change the results?
Excellent. Oh, man, that is... Thank you. So the probably other, maybe another 40% of my dissertation was on applying result maps to faceted search interfaces. So you can go and read my dissertation, which has 100 pages on that. And if I ever get my act together, it'll be at some venue somewhere. But briefly, I kind of got similar mixed results. The challenge in all these evaluations was to kind of distinguish the signal and the noise, and I had a lot of trouble getting the kind of sample sizes that I needed to really tweak out that signal I found. So I did some work applying this to even larger data sets in the neighborhood of 16,000 architectural images and used it with architectural students, and found some similar results that people liked it in certain cases, and at other times it could be a little bit overwhelming, I think. But go read my dissertation. You'll be the second person to do that. the sixth after my committee, of course.
Marianne Dirk from University of Calgary. Maybe I missed it. Do you actually use the tree map to query your collection? And
no.
How do you go back and forth, the text query and the tree map?
So no, you don't use the tree map to query. So it's a basic, you know, if you think of this as text box, enter query, you get on the result page the pairing of the text list with the result map. If you want to refine your query by adding new keywords, then that's also done in the text box. If you want to select documents, you can say click on a result map node, and that will expand the text listing to show you more details about it, so that you can access that easier. But that's the extent of querying from the result map. I'm not sure if you have anything else in mind.
Well, I'm excited about using visualizations also to query stuff. Do you think there's a value of using the tree map actually to, more constrain your result set? Do you think this would be worthwhile?
I think that might be mixing metaphors a little bit, since we're dealing with a keyword search engine. That I'm not sure if you lasso, say, a group of results, I think that you might begin to, okay, keywords plus, like, limiting it to this category. Well, I guess, yeah, since keywords are the groupings correspond to categories, I guess that might be interesting. But most often there are few enough results that I'm not sure that's necessary, I guess.
Great. We have time for one more question. Okay, well, I have one,
okay.
Which is I thought one interesting idea in your talk was the use of information visualization not to replace an existing interface, but rather supplement or complement an existing one in which people have familiarity. And you see this already out in the world. For example, sites like Yelp combine search listings with geographic maps. And so for those of us who may be interested in this as an evolutionary adoption path, really getting visualizations out there, does your work have any suggestions for us designers out there who might be, good ways to try and achieve that goal?
Sure. So especially from the faceted stuff, I have several comments that come to mind. First is that I think InfoViz designers, you said evolutionary, you know, like as a way to just transition these people all the way to InfoViz tools. And in some ways, I think that might be begging the question, because there's, you know, especially for web everyday usage, that might not be the best thing to do. And that's kind of something I found when I did this in a faceted context. I started, you know, putting InfoViz stuff all over the place, and people just kind of shut their brain down and ignored everything that wasn't a link. And I think we have to be careful as InfoViz researchers not to kind of stick our baby wherever possible. We gotta pick and choose, I guess. I'm not sure if that completely answers your question, but that's the first thing that popped in my head.
Let's thank the speaker.